Dear precious souls of God, we hope you'll be blessed as you listen to this message. May God be with you.
When you read the lineage of the Messiah in the book of Matthew, you realize they say things that... Let's go there quickly. Matthew chapter 1. Are you here? From verse 1. Matthew chapter 1 from verse 1. Am I allowed to take my time? All right. Ask your neighbor, say, are you in a hurry to go home? What are they saying? All right. Mashatu, why are you laughing? Are you in a hurry to go home? Oh, I'm watching you very carefully. Are you in Matthew chapter 1? The Bible says, the book of the generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. Judas is not the Judas who betrayed Jesus, it's Judah. Amen. Verse 3, and Judah begat Phares and Zarah and Tamar. Now, as I read this, I want you to take note of these names and think whether these are names that you are familiar with. Like when you move around in El Mapias or when you go to town or wherever, do you ever meet someone called Zarah, Phares, Tamar? And Phares begat Ezrom. And Ezrom begat Aram. And Aram begat Aminadab. And Aminadab begat Nason. And Nason begat Salmon. And Salmon begat Boaz of Rachab, And Boaz begat Obed of Ruth. And Obed begat Jesse. And Jesse begat David the king. And David the king begat Solomon of Her, that had been the wife of Urias. And Solomon begat Rehoboam, and Rehoboam begat Abia. Have you met an Abia before? And Abia begat Asa, and Asa begat Josaphat, and Josaphat begat Joram, and Joram begat Ozias. And it goes on and goes on. My point is that even your name is Mahlatsi when you compare it to these names. Your name is Moketwa. Your name is Polina. So you realize that we were far from the lineage of Christ. Of Abraham, which is actually the lineage of Christ. Are you listening to me? We were a godless people. We were wanderers, moving aimlessly in the world. We used to look at animals and copy them and call animals our God. You look like you don't know what I'm saying. Some worship trees, some worship water, some worship crocodiles, some worship chickens, some worship cows. There's a certain country that starts with an I, you know. There, they don't eat meat because they believe that cows are holy. Yeah, till today. And then in the same country, there's a place where you go. During the day, rats will be moving around like no one's business. Rats. Mahotla. Give mahotla, girl. Lihotlo. Yeah. In phase one, they call them ventures. They move around peacefully. They don't run away when they see you like the rats we know. Because there, it is believed that when you die, you become a rat. So they don't kill rats. Rats are holy. And you can see that now when we listen to these things, it sounds bizarre. But the reason why it sounds so far-fetched and bizarre is because you've been saved. A God who was not originally your God loved you to the point that he sent his only begotten son to come and die for you and me. Hallelujah. So this is why we are here. We are here to honor him. We are here to love him. We are here to appreciate him. And we are here to say thank you. Just our presence here is a message that says thank you, Lord, for what you have done for us. Amen. And this is nothing compared to what is coming. Oh, the glory that is coming. Paul said it cannot be compared to any trouble you can face in this life. Last week I told you that Jesus was slain to receive power, to receive glory, to receive honor, to receive blessing. Paul said that any pain that you experience for the sake of Christ is nothing, cannot be compared with the glory that he's going to give you. Uncomparable. We serve a good God. We serve a loving God. Put your hands together for him one more time and celebrate him. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Now, today, we are going to be speaking about prayer. Like I told you, the title of our conference is It's Time to Pray. Hallelujah. Bazalwane, it's time to pray. It's time to pray. Can I hear a louder amen?
Amen.
Yeah. One of the most powerful strategic weapon that God is giving us to accomplish our dominion on the earth is prayer. You know, one of the weapons that are feared in the world is what they call nuclear weapons. I don't know if you've heard of nuclear weapons. Now, nuclear weapons are extremely destructive. If they would release a bomb in Almapias, you know, they are not afraid of the impact of the bomb, but what they are afraid of is that when you release nuclear weapons, there will be chemicals that remain in the land for years and years to come. So 30 years after the bomb has exploded, there will be still be impacts or effects of the bomb. Now, one of the Asian countries, a nuclear bomb was released there. And years after that, people were giving birth to deformed children. And when they studied, it was a result of the bomb that exploded many years before. Are you listening to me? So nuclear bombs are one of the most feared weapons on the earth. They've killed a certain president called Saddam Hussein. I don't know if you remember him. And it was because of the fear that he is busy making nuclear weapons. Now, God has given us a weapon that is far more powerful than nuclear bombs. And that is the weapon of prayer. Your amen has no faith in it.
Amen.
When you pray, you are more dangerous than a country that has nuclear weapons.
Amen.
Please say amen so that I feel that I'm in church.
Amen.
Zandile, are you listening to me? You are more powerful. If you are a praying person, you are more powerful than a country that has nuclear weapons. Amen.
Amen.
In the Bible shows us a gentleman called Moses. God sent Moses early on, so, to a country called Egypt. God sent Moses, one individual, sent him to Egypt, and Egypt was a powerhouse in those days. It was similar to America. And God used one praying person, and defeated a whole nation with one praying person. Listen to me. That is the weight of prayer. That is the power of prayer. One praying person can be more powerful than even a whole nation, a whole country. Abigail, are you listening to me? One praying person. If you could be that praying person, you can become extremely powerful. Are you listening to me? So for us to walk in dominion the way that God wants us to walk in dominion, one major thing that we have to do is pray. Prayer is the weapon that God has given us, the power that God has given us. Hallelujah. Just a couple of weeks ago, one of our church members, Mukhadi, I think you know Mukhadi, her son was burnt by hot water, her youngest son. Are you listening to me? So she called me, she informed me of what was happening, and she sent me pictures, and the burn wounds were quite severe. They hospitalized the child, and I remember I was praying. And you see, some of you, when you are going through problems, you don't tell anyone. We just see you as though you're a person who's coming from war. Like you're coming from Afghanistan. So, hey, what happened to you? So, Pastor, I was going through whatever. Nonetheless, Mukhadi told me, and I remember I was praying for her child. I was praying from home, where I live. And these were my prayer. These were my words. Listen to my words. I said, Lord, I ask that you heal this child. And I ask that the healing will be speedy. And I ask that the healing will be so speedy that even the doctors will be amazed and wonder, how did this child heal so fast? I listened to my words. This was 2-3 weeks ago. I was praying alone. Nobody else heard these words that I was praying. Nobody. My wife was not there. I was alone and I was praying. On Monday or Tuesday, I went to visit Mukhadi's family. And she said to me, have you seen the little boy? I said, no, I just saw him playing around here. And he said, now he's far, far better. She said to me that doctors were even amazed. And they said, we don't know how come this boy heals so fast. And the doctor said that the child was supposed to be transferred from Dhaka to Steve Biko because the wounds were so severe that they needed specialists and better equipment. But when they came to, you know, transfer, they said, but this child is way better now. Instead of going to Steve Biko, go home. Prayer is power. It's power. It's a serious weapon that God has given us. But we, the church, are not aware of the glory that we have, of the immense potential that you have. If only God can give you the revelation of the power that you have, if you just pray. If you just pray. God's children are wishing that they could be like the world. rather than the world wishing to be like God's children. And the reasons for this is because God's children do not use what they have and what has been given to them. As a child of God, there you are, you want to get a driver's license. Listen to me. You are a child of God. You have the resources of heaven. Your Father is the creator of the heavens and the earth. Now, someone who does not know God will say, you will never get a license unless unse chochonyan. They are convinced that the only way to get a driver's license is if you release something. Are you here? Can I take my time? Li apando kadibra ezeminala dozianderra bajundas. Then the child of God also believes that I must take Jojo before I can get a license. Why is the one who is of God behaving like the one who is not of God? It's because he or she is not aware of the glory that they have, the power that is with them. Prayer is the solution for every problem that we have. Now, today we're going to start a journey. And it is my prayer that you don't miss any session, okay? Because it's a journey. I don't preach haphazardly, if you have noticed. I preach in sequences. So this morning, we're going to start on a subject I have entitled, The Importance of Prayer. Tell your neighbor, say, The Importance of Prayer. Why do we pray? What's the value in prayer? Hey, listen to me. Do you want to know? The importance. This afternoon, I'll be talking about practicing the presence of God. Tomorrow morning, I'll be teaching on the power of prayer. And tomorrow afternoon, God giving us grace, I'll be teaching on the strategies of prayer. So it's a journey. Don't miss anything. Come with me to the book of Exodus, chapter 33, from verse 1. In the afternoon, if you don't want to, you don't have to wear a tie or anything, okay? You can be free. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Exodus chapter 33 from verse 1. Are we there? The Bible says, and the Lord said unto Moses, depart and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt. Now, listen to what God is saying. He's with Moses and he says, Moses, go away from me. Go to your people. He doesn't call them my people. He says, the people that you, Moses, took out of Egypt. He's not saying it's people that I took out of Egypt. Are we still together?
Amen.
And it says, let me read verse 1 again. And the Lord said unto Moses, depart and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, unto thy seed will I give it. And I will send an angel before thee, and will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Hallelujah. Now, God says that, basically he's saying, I'm not going to go with you guys anymore. I'd rather send an angel to walk with you guys. It's like God was saying, I'm fed up with you people. Hallelujah. And it says, an angel will go with you. When you get there, he's going to destroy these nations. Now look how powerful angels are. One angel was going to destroy about seven nations. One angel. Your God is dangerous. Verse 3. Unto a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. And when the people heard these evil tidings, they mourned, and no man did put on him his ornaments, for the Lord had said unto Moses, say unto the children of Israel, ye are a stiff-necked people, I will come up into the midst of thee in a moment and consume thee. Therefore now put off thy ornaments from thee, that I may know what to do unto thee. And the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by the Mount Horeb. And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. Hallelujah. Now, just to give you some background here, in the chapter before this, in chapter 32, Moses had gone for a 40-day and 40-night fast. All right? And while he was gone and fasting and in the presence of God, the people said, this Moses guy, we don't know where he is. We don't know if he's coming back. So they called Aaron and they said, make us a god. Make us a god. Can you make a god? They said, make us a god. So Aaron said, give me your earrings. Give me your jewelry. Give me your necklaces, everything. And Moses made a cow out of gold and silver, whatever they had. And Aaron declared and said, this is your God who took you out of Egypt. And they started worshiping this cow that they had made themselves. So while God and Moses were communing, God was seeing what is happening. And God said, Moses, just go away from me. Moses was not even aware what was going on. When he came back to the camp, he found them celebrating, praising this God. And to cut the long story short, you know, a lot of people died that day. Now God was angry. God was disappointed. And that is why he was saying, I'm not going to go with you guys anymore. Are we still on the same page? Verse 8. And it came to pass, when Moses went out unto the tabernacle, that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose up and worshipped, every man in his tent. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Verse 12. And Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Verse 13. Now therefore, listen to Moses' prayer. Now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way that I may know thee, that I might find grace in thy sight. And consider that this nation is thy people. Verse 14. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if your presence does not go with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the word of God. It's a powerful scripture. Now, stay with me. I want you to picture what was happening in the Bible. Now, there was this tent that Moses had made by instruction of God. God told him, make this tent. And God said to Moses, every time you want to meet me or commune with me or talk to me, you must come to this tent. Now, this tent was in the midst of God's people. If you are God's people, the tent would be in the middle of everyone. Are we together? Now, when God was angry with the people, the Bible says Moses took the camp and pitched it out of the camp. If God's people were there, he took the tent and put it far from them. And every time that Moses would go to that tent, they would literally, not that they were having visions, they would literally see a cloud coming down, and this cloud would stand at the door of this tent. So they literally saw God's presence coming from the heavens to meet Moses at the tent, and they would commune and speak together. The Bible says, face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. Imagine. This is a grace that Moses has. You know, every time I read the book of Exodus, I always cry tears. I say, Lord, I want what Moses had. Hallelujah. And everybody could see this happening. And when they saw the glory of God come down, the Bible says, everyone would come out of their tents and start worshiping God because they were seeing it live. So, the Bible starts to tell us the conversation that Moses had with God. And the conversation that he had with God was that Moses said, Lord, please, don't allow us to move around this world without you. Please go with us. Let your presence be with us wherever we go in this earth. And Moses says something that is very interesting. He said, how will it be known that we are your people? Is it not in that you go with us? Hallelujah. Just standing on your feet quickly. Some of you are about to fall off your chair. Tell your neighbor, you can't fall asleep in this service. It's a very important service. Hallelujah. If I see you dozing again, I'm going to ask you what time you slept last night, what you were doing last night. I'm going to become personal. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, you can't sleep here today. You can't. We don't allow it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hey! What was I saying? You disturb me by your sleeping. One particular church, the pastor was preaching and people were sleeping and he allowed them to sleep. And apparently somebody died in the church. And every story I tell you is true. Yeah. One of the people who were sleeping died. So they called an ambulance and they didn't want to disturb the service. So when the ambulance came, the paramedics came, they would take people and carry them outside. And then they check, are you the one? And you wake up, so no, it's not him. The people were so asleep in the church that they could carry them out of the church. In this church, I don't want anyone sleeping in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now, what was I saying? What about the presence? Yes. So Moses said to the Lord, the only thing that will separate us from the people of this world is your presence. It's not money. It's not fame. It's not clothes. It's not a house. It's not a car. He said the only way it will be known that we are God's people is if your presence goes with us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Your presence. God heard the prayer of Moses and God said to Moses, all right, my presence will go with you. My what? My presence will go with you. Are you awake? Are you sure? All right, you may be seated. But if I see your eyes becoming drowsy, I'm going to become personal with you. I'm going to ask you questions you don't want to answer. Amen. Now, the importance of prayer or the value of prayer is the presence of God. The reason why we pray is because we are in search of that glory that Moses experienced every time he went to that tent. Every time you pray, the end goal of your prayer, the reason of your prayer should be that you want to encounter that person that Moses met every time he went to the tent. Most of us have belittled prayer. Most people pray because they want things. Very few people pray because they want to meet God. Very few people pray because they want to experience Him. Very few people pray because they love Him. That's why people easily give up on prayer. Because they want, they want, they want. If they don't get what they want, they look for another God that they can find who will give them what they want. But the real reason for prayer is to meet Him. The real reason for prayer is to talk to Him. The real reason for prayer is to develop a relationship with Him. That's the ultimate goal for prayer. If that is not your goal every time you pray, you will become discouraged. You'll become disappointed. You will give up, even though you have a great God. Many of us have been praying wrong, and we have not been giving God the respect and the reverence that He deserves. We just go there, I want. We go, I want. When you have everything you want, you even forget that he's there. But real children of God are hungry to meet him. Real children of God are thirsting to know him. Moses was a guy who met him face to face, but this was what he was praying. Lord, please, your presence must go with us. We need your presence. This was a guy who saw the oceans open. This was the guy who went and faced all the magicians of Egypt and defeated them by the power of God. But he still cried and he said, we need your presence. This was the guy whom God set him down. And he said, Moses, let me tell you of things that happened before you were even born. In the beginning, Moses was not there, but he wrote, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness covered the face of the waters. Moses was writing. Where did he know what to write? God told him, this is what happened in the beginning. This is how I created the heavens and the earth. Imagine. But even with such experiences, his cry was that, Lord, your presence. Lord, that I may know you. That I may know you. And he said, the only thing that sets us apart from the world is you being with us. Nothing else. Because we all eat the same food. We all live in a flesh body. We all need clothes. We are all the same. But what separates us is the presence of God. Are you listening to me, somebody?
Amen.
So the real reason that we pray, or we ought to pray, or we should pray, is to meet him. That should be the goal of your prayer life. Some years ago, I used to pray, I want to be the most anointed man in the world. And I said, my prayer is a bit foolish. My prayer should be that I want to know him. Someone say, I want to know my God. I want to meet my God. I want to have a relationship with my God. Yeah. Hallelujah. Am I speaking to somebody? When you start praying the way that I'm teaching you, your prayer life will be enjoyable. As I was reading the Bible says that Moses fasted for 40 nights and 40 days. So, hour after hour, day after day, week after week, the man was just praying. How can you do that for 40 nights and 40 days? It's not possible. You get tired, you get hungry, you get thirsty, you get distracted. But for 40 nights and 40 days, he was there. It was because he's not always there saying, Lord, we need this. Lord, why don't you help me? Lord, his prayers was, I want to know you. His prayer was, let your presence go with me, Lord. Let your presence go with me. When you start praying like that, you will enjoy praying. Because your prayer life will become a journey to meet God. It will become a journey every day where the goal is meeting God. And when you start meeting him, when you start experiencing him, you will never ever be the same again. Never. It can't be. You can never be the same when you meet him. Your prayer topics will never be the same. You will love him. Sandile, how can a person die for his love for God? How? I just remember a few months ago when my grandfather passed away. As we were driving to the funeral, I heard the Lord. And he said to me, when you get there, I want you to pray. In other words, God was saying to me, because in a funeral, everybody, you know, comes and says something about the person who had passed on. So the Lord says that when you get the mic in that funeral, pray. I heard it. And I said, no, I didn't hear it. But I heard it. And you know, I was driving, and I was driving with my brothers, and my wife was there. And we were talking, conversation. But I heard that small voice. And it said to me, when you get there, pray. I tried to ignore it. But when you've heard him, you know that you have heard him. And then I remember saying, God, if I'm going to serve you, you are going to have to give me the heart of a lion. Because to be honest with you, I'm afraid to do what you are saying I must do. Because it's not normal for you to hold a mic and just pray. When I got there, they were talking to me about the program. And they said, do you want to speak for Abba Zugul? I said, nope. That time God said, you must go and pray. I was afraid. I said, no, I'm not going to speak. I was afraid. I was honest. And then what happened is that my cousin became the one who was going to speak. And somehow, the program director came to me and said, hey, we still have a lot of time. So if you've got people who can speak, allow them to speak. So we were all standing there, and that person spoke, that person spoke, that person spoke, and I was standing at the end there, and this mic is coming towards me. And when I look at the program director, he's telling me we still have time. When it finally came to me, I realized that this thing is God. And I said, let us pray. And I prayed. I didn't speak. And because I knew that I was going to have to speak, because I'm the oldest of the grandchildren in the house. It's my responsibility. But because of what God has spoken to me, I was afraid. And on my way there, I mean, I'm a preacher. Talking is not difficult. I mean, it's what I do every week. But for the life of me, nothing came to my mind. I was trying to think what to say. And the only thing in my mind was pray. When I finished praying, all of a sudden, all the things that I could have said came to my mind again. And I realized this was God. I listened to me. Someone said, this is God. So my point of this whole thing is that when you start praying because you want to meet him, it makes you different. It separates you from the people of this world. It separates you from the lusts of this world. It separates you from the hunger that people of this world hunger for. Recently, I was looking at shoes, and to my shock, I saw that there are some shoes that cost 1,000 rand, 1,005, 2,000. And I said, in my heart, I said, there are people who are walking on 2,000. When they are walking on 2,000. I was shocked. I said, what a waste.
2,000 for a shoe. Do you know what's the purpose of a shoe? So that if you don't get hurt. If you step on something, it doesn't hurt you. That's the reason for a shoe. Why do I need to pay 2,000 for that? When one that costs 100 rand can do the same work, same job, no problem. Say amen, please. I'm preaching here. But when you meet him, an expensive shoe becomes nothing for you. When you meet him. Moses wasn't saying, oh God, that house, that double story house. He said, Lord, that I may know you. That your presence will go with us. If you keep reading, he says, God, please show me your glory. These are the prayer topics of a person who meets God. Show me your glory. Someone say, show me your glory. Hallelujah. Amen. So why is it important for you to pray? It's so that you can meet him. I want everyone who belongs to Healing Fire Ministries to have that mind and that heart. That when you wake up in the morning and I pray, what I am doing is I want to meet him. I want to experience him. That's what I'm doing today. And every morning when you wake up, you're not saying, oh God, please change my life. Oh God. We want to meet him. We want to meet him. We want to meet him. Is God real? Does God speak? Is God powerful? But why don't you hear him? Why don't you experience his power? Start changing your prayer topics. And the reason for praying. So Lord, I want to know you. I want to experience you. I want to be your friend. One man of God was praying one day. And he said, as he was praying, all of a sudden, he saw himself in heaven. All of a sudden. He wasn't praying for it. He wasn't expecting it. And when he got there, he heard the voice of God. And the Lord said to him, my son, what would you like me to do for you today? And the man of God said, oh Lord, nothing. He said, all I want to do is to tell you how much I love you. That man of God said that he saw tears coming from God's eyes. God said to him, I've got many sons and daughters, but very few come here just to say, Daddy, I love you. It's because we are so fixated on the things of this world. The only thing you can see is what you don't have and you want. That's the only thing you can see. But that man of God said, Lord, I love you. I just want to worship you. I just want to tell you what a good God that you are. You are the best. I love you with all my heart. You are my father. You are my daddy. And I'll forever praise you. I'll forever worship you. I'll forever give you praise. You are the only true God. There's no other God but you. And I love you with all my heart. And he was just there and just blessed the Lord. We need to start learning to pray like that. Don't go to meet God only for what you want. But go there to meet him. To get to know him. I was telling one of my friends that, you know, one of my prayer topics since the year began that I can't get away from is that, God, I want to have the same heart that you have. I want to love the way that you love. I want to feel the things that you feel. I want to experience what you experience. I want to have your heart, because I want to be like you. My role model is God. My role model is Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. I don't want to be like Mandela. I want to be like Jesus. Say a louder amen. Am I talking to somebody? So the reason for praying, the importance of prayer, is to have that experience that Moses had. And you and I can have that experience every single day. We can meet him every single day. Now, in Moses' day, there used to be a tent that they used to go to. When Jesus died and resurrected with power, that building that housed the presence of God or the ark of God, I'll teach you these things some other day, but one of the curtains tore. Without anyone tearing it, it just tore by itself. And that was symbolic that now all of us are welcomed in the presence of God. Before, it was only few people. It was only the high priest that was allowed to go into the Holy of Holies to meet God. But since Jesus came and died for us, anyone who's anyone, if they want to meet God, they can meet God. Mamantabi is saying, you can meet God. Precious, you can meet God. You can meet God. It's not reserved for pastors. It's not reserved for prophets. It's not reserved for evangelists. It's not reserved for any special people. Anyone who wants to meet him can meet him. Anyone who wants to experience him can experience him. Anyone who wants to hear his voice can hear his voice. Anyone who wants to experience his presence can experience his presence. But you must just desire it. Many of us, we don't experience him because we don't want to know him. We just want what we can get from him and what he can do for us. And we want him to do it in our time. If he doesn't do it in our time, we'll look for another God who will help us out quickly. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Am I talking to somebody?
Amen.
Tell your neighbor, so you can't sleep in the service, please. It's illegal. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I want all of us to know him personally. I want all of us to be able to hear his voice. I want you to walk with him. Lerato, there are many, many praise and worship people in this world. But what will separate you from all of them is if his presence is with you. There are thousands of pastors in this world. What will separate me from other pastors is his presence. Lately, I was praying, and I was just, this week has been a heavy week for me, and I was just talking to the Lord, and yesterday, he reminded me of a scripture, Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27, the Bible says, his burden, it shall come to pass that his burden shall be lifted from your shoulders. His yoke shall be removed from off thy neck. And it says, the anointing will destroy the yoke. And the Lord said to me, the anointing is a person. I know I'm speaking parables. But all that the Lord was telling me was that the solution to any problem you have is a person. It's not a thing. And that person is him. Hallelujah. Hello, everybody, look at me. And that person is Jesus. Hallelujah. Someone say, that person is Jesus. Say louder, that person is Jesus. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord and give him praise. Now, I'm just going to lay a foundation for the service we're going to have later today. What I want you to consider now is that for Moses to encounter God, he had to go to that tent. Are you listening to me? It didn't just happen anywhere. So the presence of God was linked to that tent. Wherever that tent was, God's presence was there. Wherever that tent was, that's where God's presence was. I listen to me.
Amen.
I don't know whether to go through this or wait until this afternoon. Quickly go to Exodus 25. I think I'll just read this one and then we'll take a break and come back in the afternoon. Exodus chapter 25 from verse 1. Exodus 25 from verse 1. Rimanda raba shandari ba koto kosia karabo shakarianda bakayaka. Are you there? The Bible says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, ye shall take my offering. And this is the offering which ye shall take of them, gold and silver and brass and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and ram's skins dyed red and badger's skins and shittim wood, oil for the light, spices for anointing oil and for sweet incense, onyx stones and stones to be set in the ephod, and in the breastplate. Verse 8. And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. According to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of the instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it. And they shall make an ark of shittim wood. Hallelujah. So in verse 8, God asked Moses, he said, I want my people to make me a sanctuary. Someone say a sanctuary. You know, when I hear sanctuary, I think of a palace, of a beautiful place. But when I studied the word, it means a sacred place or a holy place. So God's presence doesn't just go anywhere. God's presence is only revealed or experienced in a sacred place. In a holy place. Oh Jesus, help us. You can't be the number one drunkard in the world and expect to experience God's presence. Tell your neighbor, it doesn't work like that, Assembly. Don't lie to us in church. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, if you want to experience that presence, you will notice that for Moses to meet God, it was linked to that tent. And that tent was a sacred place, a holy place, a place that was dedicated to God, a place that was separate from all other places. A place that you reverence. A place that you respect. That's the only place where they could encounter God. Now in today's time, there's no tent like that.
in today's time, you are that tent. And the presence of God can come to you. But God doesn't just come to any tent. He only comes to sacred tents. Tents that are dedicated to Him. Tents that reverence Him, that respect Him. Tents that love Him. Tents that worship Him. This is the only place where the presence of God will come. Not anywhere. Not anywhere. Many of God's children are not a tent like that. And that's why they don't experience His presence. That's why they don't get to know Him. They will not separate themselves. They will not dedicate themselves to God. They will not love Him. They don't have a prayer time. They pray whenever they feel. One day I went and asked someone and said, "When do you study?" They say, I study when I feel like it. I say, "Hey, when you feel." So what if you don't feel like studying for 5 days and you're about to write? What's going to happen? And there are Christians like that. They don't pray. They pray when they feel like it. Or when they're in trouble. Then they remember, "Can I have a God?" One of the things that I've learned in life is that when you pray for long hours in secret, when you come in public, you don't have to pray for long hours and you get results. People who don't pray for long hours in secret, if you tell them to pray in public, they want to show you that they can pray. No, no. People who know how to pray, they don't have time to be showing off. Brother, can you please pray for the food, please? Let's close our eyes. Jesus, thou Son of the living God. Ha! For the food. Oh. You're exposing yourself. That in secret you don't spend enough time with God. You are trying to spend time with Him when we want to eat food. Hallelujah. So you must become a sanctuary. You must become a holy place. You must become a sacred place for you to experience His presence. He said to Moses, "Build me a sanctuary." May you become a sanctuary where the glory of God will come and make its dwelling. When I say make its dwelling, I mean it doesn't come and go. It stays there. It stays. It stays there. One day when our daughter was younger, I can't remember what trouble she used to have, but she was crying. And my wife woke me up in the middle of the night and said, "Please pray for her." At that time, I did not feel like a man of God. I didn't feel anointed. I was just feeling sleepy. And she said, "Please pray." And just based, because she is now just, "Please pray, pray." I just put my hands on my daughter and I said, "Lord, please heal her." Immediately, we had, she released gas. She became fine and she slept like a baby. You see, when you become a sanctuary, His presence comes to dwell. You don't have to do gymnastics before God manifests. You don't have to start, okay, okay, wait, I'll pray now, wait for me. His presence dwells. You can be in a taxi and hear His voice. You can be cooking and hear His voice. You can be doing your washing
and hear his voice because you have become a sanctuary. He lives in you. That cloud that Moses saw is now in you. That cloud lives in you. Because you have become a sanctuary for Jesus. You see, if you don't know how to pray, if you don't know the importance of prayer, your prayer life will be very disappointing. And it'll be heavy for you. It'll be heavy. But when you know what you are doing, when you know how to navigate, when you know your end goal, you will enjoy. There are times that when I'm praying, I know it is done. Like when I was praying for that child, Mukhadi's child, I said, Lord, this is what I'm asking you, that you will heal him so fast that even the doctors will be amazed. When I heard, that's exactly what happened. Because I knew that I had gone to such a level where I was in his glory. And when I pray in that glory, I know that I know. But because we don't know how to pray, we don't know. That's why prayer becomes so difficult. And when you've not seen the glory of prayer, you will not respect it. You will not invest in it. That every day I pray. On this time I pray. I spend so much time praying. Prayer can't be like anything else in this life. It has to become a priority. You have to set apart time. Because you have to be a sanctuary. A sanctuary is a sacred place. There must be a sacred time in your life. That you don't answer the phone. This time is my time with God. I like to pray early hours in the morning because that time many people are changing gears. Nobody, even if you wanted a phone call, it's not gonna come. You can look at your phone 10 times, it won't ring because many people are sleeping. That's the time that I like to pray. No distraction, no disturbance. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I try my best to check what I watch, who I spend time with. Because, you see, this tent is a sacred place. And it's important that it must be sacred so that it can experience the glory of God. I don't know if I'm talking to somebody.
Amen.
Tell a neighbor, say, my neighbor, from today, this tent, this tent is a sacred place. Put your hands together for Jesus. Is that for Jesus or for somebody else? Oh, I wish we could have had a retreat. I'm enjoying myself. And I haven't even begun touching my notes. Please don't miss tonight. Tonight I'm going to show you how you can experience that presence. Because that tent is very important. It's very important. And there must be certain things in that tent before you can experience his glory. So tonight I'll be sharing with you about practicing the presence of God. Where you can experience his presence on a daily basis. Hallelujah. You can't be the same. You will never be the same. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are you learning something today?
Amen.
You know, one of my prayers recently was that, Lord, I want to teach the Bible. And that's what I'm doing. Because of time, I can't go through every scripture. But what I'm teaching is very important. Hallelujah. Let's rise to our feet. Put your hands together for Jesus. Oh, I said for Jesus, for Jesus, for Jesus.
Thank you for listening to the powerful Word of God. We hope that you're blessed. For inquiries, contact 082-682-6048 or send us an email at info@healingfireministries.com or go to our website www.healingfireministries.com. May God be with you.